Thank you, Brother Danny, for that beautiful prayer this morning, and certainly count it a wonderful honor and blessed privilege to be with you this morning. Just thankful, and I tell you, I do want to give a special thanks to Brother Steve and Sister Donna for their wonderful hospitality and how great it was to relive some memories and think about how good God has been these 200 years, at least for 60 or so years for me in this life. But and I could spend a good 15 minutes with introductory remarks and this and that, but we have more important things to talk about this morning. And but I will sum it up in this. I find it truly amazing that God can bless a man to take a scripture, maybe even a word, and bless him to preach for an hour, and it feels like 5 minutes. And yet, if God's not there, a preacher could take a whole chapter and try to preach for 5 minutes, and it'd feel like an hour. It's amazing. It truly is a miracle, as Brother Danny mentioned in his prayer, a miracle. And I certainly ask an interest in your prayers. I would like to think about three assurances that the Apostle John gives us in the latter part of his first epistle, of John chapter 5. And we find kind of a summary of his whole letter, just about everything that he tried to teach or summed up in these three verses, verses 18, 19, and 20. And in that summary, he gives us, I think, three blessed assurances that we are able to partake in, enjoy today. And I tell you, I don't think God's able to do anything. I don't know if we'll cover all three of them or not. Brother David, I just follow the Spirit and we'll see where it goes. But be on guard, it may take me 10 minutes and then we'll turn it over to you. John writes, 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. He says, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not." Wow. "But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." Now that's a blessed assurance to be able to know. This is something we can know. That whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He sinneth not. And whoever is begotten of God keepeth himself. And the wicked one, which I don't know about y'all, but Satan is real and alive and on my case way too much. But it's a blessing to know he can't touch you. Now, he can affect your life, like he did Job, but he can't touch you. And that word "touch" there literally means to alter or to modify. And Satan does not have power to alter the child of God. Amen. That person whosoever is born of God. Isn't that amazing? Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, John proves this. Again, this is a summary text. He proves this in several scriptures of his writing in this book, that the man, the woman, the child, the person, the human that is born of the Holy Spirit cannot sin. Cannot sin. I remember growing up, there was a 1 John 3:9. Let's just get the elephant in the room, right? And bring it out here, because it says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." Now, John tells us why that's true. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him." And he cannot sin because he is born of God. And I love the fact that he kind of repeats it in a way. It's like, I'm going to prove to you by proving that the truth is the truth. I don't know. I don't know how to say that. But in that, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. And he cannot sin. Why? Because he's born of God. He gives the reason. It's because he is born of the Holy Spirit and his seed remaineth in him. I remember growing up, that being such a, and I'm sure it still is today, I'm settled on it. I think it says exactly what it says. Right? I think it means exactly what it sounds like it means. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. And because he being he or she, right, he cannot sin. Why? Because he is born of God. We know certainly from our own experiences that we are sinners by practice. We're sinners by nature. Oh, we're sinners by practice, right? So we have to certainly rightly divide. We understand that there are two natures now to the child of God. A child of God who has been born of the Holy Spirit has a new nature. He is a new creature. And dear friends, that new creature cannot sin. Amen. It can't sin. It can't sin. Now, why is that? Well, first of all, his seed remaineth in him. We've been studying with my brother Mike, Brother Jerry, and Brother Mark, if you listen to that podcast, but we've been talking about Abraham and getting in Galatians and Romans chapter 4, Galatians chapter 3 about the seed. And we understand, Paul tells us, right? We know that Abraham was given that promise years ago. What a blessed promise. That in thee shall all nations be blessed, right? And that the Lord tells him, in thy seed, I can't even get it now, but it was because of the seed. Paul tells us the reason why that is true is because the seed is not many, but one. Right. That seed is the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. He is the seed of Abraham. And he is the reason why in Abraham all nations were going to be blessed. Because Jesus Christ is the seed. And friends, that seed is in us. That seed, which is Christ Jesus, remaineth in you, and it cannot sin because he is holy. Your inward part is also holy. I tell you what, dear friends, Jesus Christ is holy and pure, separate from sinners. I think most every Christian will agree that Jesus did not sin, but not all of them agree that he could not sin. I firmly believe that he is God manifest in the flesh, and God cannot sin. Therefore, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, cannot sin. He couldn't. He didn't. Thank God he didn't. And that holy, pure seed that he is now remains in us through the new birth. And that part of us cannot sin. Now, the other part of us, it can't do anything but sin. That's all it can do. That's all it knows to do. Hence the great warfare we all have every single day. Between the inward man and the outward man, these two are contrary, right? Direct opposite. Yeah. Opposites. Contrary to one another. I've often said that no matter what you decide to do, part of you is going to be happy and part of you is going to be upset. Right? If you're here today, your spirit, I trust, is rejoicing. Your flesh may still be a little bit tired. We'd love to have slept in on this rainy Saturday morning. I don't get many Saturdays off. It'd been nice, right? Part of you, not all that happy, sitting on it. Well, thankfully it's a good... Can you imagine 200 years ago? In fact, not even 200 years ago, I remember as a kid, so just 50, 60 years ago, sitting on wooden benches, not cushioned, not air-conditioned, right? And why they built the backs of a bench where the slats were not lined up, you know, so you're sitting like this, listening to a preacher go on for an hour and 25 minutes. But I tell you what, if the Spirit's there, it felt like five, right? It didn't matter how hot it was. It didn't matter how uncomfortable the bench was. If the Lord's there, it didn't matter. But I do like the comforts. I don't want to get rid of them, right? Thankful for that. Christ is incorruptible. Right? 1 Peter chapter 1. For know ye not that you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we were not redeemed with corruptible things, that means we were redeemed with something that's incorruptible. And friends, that means it cannot be corrupted. Cannot be corrupted. Remember when the angel came to Mary and said, that holy thing that shall be conceived in thee. And then in John chapter 1 and various other places, we understand that the Word of God, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was made flesh and dwelt among us. He could not sin, and neither can our inward part, because it is holy and just and righteous as Christ is. That is why, dear friends, when you draw your last breath in this world, your soul and your spirit are immediately in the presence of God. No change needed, nothing needed. It is ready to bask in the glory of God. These bodies, they got to be changed, right? They have to be changed. They cannot stand in the presence of God. So we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. And then he makes this statement. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Now what does that mean? Because if it's up to me, I know that there's a part of me that is holy and pure, and I know there's the flesh part of me, and I understand that, but if it's just up to me, that I can't keep myself. So what does John mean when he says, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself? Well, turn back to the fourth verse of this fifth chapter. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, he says, now, all throughout this, he says, whosoever, whosoever, whosoever. In verse 4, chapter 5, he says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Whatsoever is born of God. This is the way I look at it. And if I'm wrong, Brother David, correct it, or just let it go and just prove whatever. But what I see in that is when he's talking about whosoever, he's talking about the whole person, right? I mean, how do I say it? Remember when the Apostle Paul says, you know, that I've done good, and yet it's not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me? Well, all right, so I'm able to do good. I'm able to do the fruit of the Spirit and to live godly and to do good things because we've been born of the Holy Spirit. But that's us, right? It is us. But I think when he says whatsoever, he's specifically talking about the seed or the new birth. That is what's going to keep us because that is the only thing, because I can't do it on my own.
Right.
Right. It has to be that which is from God.
Right.
Oh, 1 Peter chapter 1. We are begotten again unto a lively hope, to an inheritance incorruptible, mm-hmm. undefiled, that fadeth not away.
Right.
It just keeps going. Reserved in heaven for you. Yeah, I don't know if y'all have heard me use this illustration, but a few years ago I went down to Texas to a meeting and I was getting there late. My oldest brother Mike already had a room and he was going to let me stay with him because Sister Judy wasn't able to make it. So I got there about midnight. So I had a reservation. Mike had paid for the room. You know, he's already in the room. And there's a bed in that room that is mine. It's reserved for me. Well, I get there. He told me earlier that night as I was driving. He told me what room number is. So I go to the room number and I knock, and nobody answered. He's like, "Oh, okay. Well, I had a reservation, but I knocked again. No answer." It's like, you know what? This reservation's not doing me any good, right? So I I was like, what am I going to do? And so I sent him a text. And for somehow, I'm a power of God, right? For some reason, I could hear in the room, I heard this little bing. And that woke him up. I don't know why. A loud knock, even hollering at the door wouldn't wake him up. But a little ding from his phone woke him up. I got in. I got to sleep, right? Reservation's not good enough. It's great. But what if we don't make it, right? But he goes on. He doesn't stop there. Who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Amen.
Listen, friends, that salvation's ready. It's already done. It's ready.
Amen.
It won't be revealed in its fullness until the Lord comes back, but it is a done deal.
Amen.
We are kept by the power of God. Brother John, Paul was speaking from John chapter 17 in that beautiful, in the Lord's Prayer. Oh, dedicating the house, Brother Paul. That was wonderful. Enjoy that so much. Brother Paul showed the house to the house last night. I tell you, it was really good. But in John chapter 17, in this prayer, in verse 15, the Lord says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Listen, it is the power of God that keeps us from the evil. And that's why the wicked one cannot touch you. Cannot touch you. Wow, that's truly amazing. Matthew writes, Matthew 10, verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. As much as Satan can try, he can't touch you.
Amen.
I let him affect my life. I let him affect my life. Did y'all hear that? He tries really hard, but I let him affect my life. Thank God he can't touch my soul. He can't touch me. He can't alter me, but I let him affect my life. I let him. Why not believe in the power of God and know that... Oh, I don't know. Why? I don't know. And finally, we are... the Lord says, as recorded in John chapter 10, we are kept in the hand of Christ.
Yeah, man.
And no man can pluck them out of my hand.
Amen.
And then he says, and my Father, who is greater than me, we are kept in his hand.
That's right.
Cannot be plucked out.
Amen.
We know that whosoever is born of God cannot sin, and he keepeth himself. And he cannot be touched by the evil one. And then verse 27. So the question to me that comes to mind, that's the whosoever. How do I know if I'm the part of the whosoever? There was a dear brother, he passed away just a couple of weeks ago. He was raised in the church as a child, and most of his adult life he was not a member of the church. Later in life, he came back to the church, and I had the privilege of baptizing him. This brother, oh, he cracked me up because he believed the truth. And he believed Jesus Christ obtained eternal salvation, right? He believed all that. But he still asked the question, but did he do it for me? Did he do it for me? Did he die for me? Well, listen, dear friends. If you're asking the question, did he die for you? You already have the answer. The answer is yes, he died for you, because if you weren't born of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be asking that question. Right? But verse 19. And all right, so we know that whosoever, right? Whosoever. There's a group. There's a family of God. And we know that if they're born of God, they cannot sin, and the wicked one cannot touch them. I know that. But look at verse 19. And we know that we are of God. We can make this personal. We can understand that we're part of the whosoever.
Right. Amen.
We're part of the whosoever. What a blessed assurance, dear friends, in this day, in 2025, to know we're the children of God, we're born of the Holy Spirit, and oh, how we ought to walk as children of God, right? Since we do know that. But we know that. We know we are of God. He says, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Well, we know that too. We know we live in a crooked and perverse nation. We know we live in a horrible time. But we know we are of God. All right. But if you're still questioning, how do I know? Tim, how do I know? All right, let's go to the first verse. 1 John chapter 5. It's very easy. Whosoever, well, there's that whosoever again. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Right.
Notice that does not say whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ will be born again, can be born again, has the power to be born again. No. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is already born of God.
Right.
If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, come down, who lived upon this world for 33 years and who died upon the cross for the sins of His people and rose victoriously over the grave. If you believe He's the Christ, you're born of God.
Right.
And if you're born of God, you're a child of God and you cannot sin.
Right.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, I love John chapter 1, verse 12, you know, where he came into his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Ah, Brother Tim, you're lying. You just said, right? Because that's what it says. All you have to do is receive him. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I guess the world just stopped right there and didn't finish the sentence that John wrote. I guess they just put a period there and said, all you got to do is receive the Lord and he'll give you power to become the child of God. That's true, but he's not talking about the new birth.
Amen.
As far as children being become the son of God. Why? Because he says, which were born. Not of the flesh, nor the will of man, nor of one other, but of God. So, if you receive him, he's going to give you power to become a son of God. But in order to receive him, you already had to be a son of God.
Right?
So, he must be talking about when we receive him, he gives us the power to become manifest children of God.
Yeah,
right? Act like we ought to. Act like the children of God that we are. Oh. And we know we are of God. We know we are of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. What does John say? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Brother Josh, I appreciate you so much last night. I enjoyed your sermon so much. I tell you what, the Lord richly blessed the service last night. I'm so thankful for that. You know, a preacher's up here talking about eternity and heaven and everything. It's like, oh, what's he going to say? Well, you know, if he says anything, just know that he doesn't know what he's talking about. If you think, I don't know what a spiritual... Brother David, I rack my brain trying to figure out, what is a spiritual body going to be like? I have no idea. What is an immortal? What's it going to be like to have no sin whatsoever? I can't fathom that. Because that's all I understand right now. I don't know. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that we will be like Christ.
Amen.
We'll be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And that's enough for me, dear friends. That means we'll be pure, holy, sinless, perfect, and living in glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Because we'll be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Now, but you said we cannot sin. That's the inward man. It's the body that has to be fashioned like His glorious body. And be made sinless, immortal, spiritual. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Brother Josh did mention Matthew 16:16 last night, right? Beautiful illustration. Whom do men say that I am? Some say you're Elias, some other prophet. Well, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter spoke up. Thou art the Christ.
Amen.
The Son of the living God. Oh, the Lord. I would love to have heard the Lord say that to Peter. I'd love to hear Him say it to me. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Thou art the Christ. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Amen.
Is born of God. I told that brother so many times. Oh, until I was blue in the face. You believe He's the Christ, right? Yes, I do. Then you're born of God. You're His child. Oh, but I doubt. I never could get it across to you like I wanted to. We are of God. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. As David writes in Psalm 100, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He said in Psalm 95, verse 7, for He is our God and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. We are of God. What a blessing it is to know that. And then back to 1 John. In chapter 4, verse 4, notice what John writes. Chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Why can the wicked one not touch you? Because your seed remaineth in you. And greater is He that's in you than that wicked one.
Right.
He's more powerful. He's more powerful than Satan.
That's right.
We are of God. And then, if the Lord would bless us, I may pick up verse 20 this afternoon, but I'm going to close because I want to hear Brother David and I want him to have plenty of time this morning. But I want to close with 2 Timothy chapter 3, scripture there that Paul writes to Timothy. Verse 10, Paul writes, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me.
Amen.
I can't remember which brother last night said, which one of y'all were talking about? We have it so easy. Or maybe it was just Brother Steve. We have it so easy today. My life's not anything like that of the Apostle Paul's. Oh, I might suffer here or there, but nothing like, can you imagine being left half dead? I mean, Paul says, out of them all the Lord deliver me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Lord Himself told His apostles, John chapter 16, in this world ye shall have tribulation. So, we know we are of God, but we also know we live in a crazy world. A wicked place. But God will be with you, dear friends. You know why? Y'all, I tell you what. Our children can... Have you ever thought about murder? I mean, our kids can really get to us, right? From time to time. And you just look and shake your head. It's like, I can't believe you did that, right? My parents did the same thing to me. In fact, I think my parents did a lot more toward me than I did toward my kiddos. But when it comes down to it, you know what my favorite thing to do in life is? Bless my children. In fact, Brother Mike, now to bless my grandchildren is even better than that. Oh, I love it. But to bless my children, there's nothing better. To do good, to help, to assist, to just be there. To give whatever you can to help your children. God's the same way. He knows we live in a wicked place. He knows how hard it is. Listen, Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like we were. Yet without sin. He understands. He knows. He knows. I love that old scripture. I forget where it is. It's in the Psalms. He remembereth that we are dust. He knoweth that we are dust. He remembereth our frame. Jesus Christ, our great high priest, understands. He knows we're just dust. He remembereth what it's like to be in a body in a wicked, wicked world. He remembers what that's like, and He's always there to help. Why? Because we are of God. We are His children. We are the sheep of His pasture. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Come ahead, brother.
Blessed assurance.